thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your word declares that we should sing a new song to you. And as we fellowship with you, you always give us new songs. And we sing to glorify your name. This morning in this short session of the word, we ask that this word will impact many lives and that your name will be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall shout a big amen. Last week we began a series, or we continued a series we titled Sanctuary Protocols. And we established some very important truths on protocols of the sanctuary. And we made the saints understand that anytime we gather in a church meeting like this, there are other beings that are present with us that our physical eyes cannot see. The Bible speaks of an innumerable company of angels. And remember, anytime we are gathered in a meeting like this, we are actually in heaven. And heaven is here. And because we are in heaven and heaven is here, we interact with other spirit beings like the 24 elders, the four living creatures. There is a fellowship that we have together anytime we begin in a worship meeting. We explained also about 8 ways to serve the Lord. And we said that the first way to serve the Lord is to serve Him with gladness. Number 2, we also said we serve the Lord with humility of mind. Number 3, we also said we serve the Lord in fear and reverence. Number 4, we said that we serve the Lord in the Spirit. Number 5, we serve the Lord with our hearts and our whole being. Number 6, we serve the Lord with fastings and prayer. Number 7, we serve the Lord sacrificially. And number 8, we serve the Lord with our family. So quickly today, before we continue on the main subject or the main area we want to establish sanctuary protocols, we want to look at what happens to believers who come to church. What happens to believers who come to church or go to church, anyhow you want to understand it. What happens to believers who come to church? Now, when we read the book of Psalm 27, the verse 4, Psalm 27, the verse 4. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now come with me again to the book of Psalm 84, the verse 7. Psalm 84, the verse 7. The Bible declares, "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." The verse 10 says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." So this is David establishing the fact that he had a desire to be in the presence of God constantly. And he even witnessed that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to spend 1,000 elsewhere, which is not in the presence of God. So quickly, we want to look at what happens to those who come to church. Number one, we're going to look at the scripture again in Psalm 84 from the verse 7. Now the Bible says, "They go from strength to strength, every one of them that appeared before God in Zion." Now from here, we see the first benefit or the first thing that happens to those who come to church punctually. And it is, number one, strength. Now that strength there is not physical strength, but it can lead to physical strength. If you want physical strength, you go to the gym. If you want physical strength, you jog. You want physical strength, you do exercise. Praise the Lord. But the strength the Bible is talking about here is talking about spiritual strength. And the Bible says they go from strength to strength, those who appear before God in Zion, which means our appearance before God constantly in the house of God benefits us with strength. Now, trust me, it is very impossible to serve God in your strength. The Bible says that by the arm of flesh, no man can prevail. Horses and chariots are ready for war, but the Lord gives victory. So we need to understand that we are incapacitated. We are bankrupt in ourselves to help ourselves when it's got to do with our relationship with God, our walk with God, and our dealings in this life. You need a strength that is above normal human strength. Because it is possible for you to be very wealthy, but a witch somewhere can just kill you. It is possible for you to be very great and strong physically, but without the strength that is from within, you will be a victim to the enemy. So the first thing that happens to those who remain constantly in the presence of God or in the house of God is divine strength. The more you fail to be in the presence of God, the more weak you become spiritually. And this is what has led to a lot of depression, a lot of suicides, a lot of all kinds of worry and anxiety. Anytime you appear before God in Zion, your first benefit is divine strength. Number two, we also see from the verse 10, as David reads, he says, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness." Now look at the verse 11 and 12. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So now, the second thing we see as a benefit for those who are in church or in the presence of God constantly is radiation. The verse 11, after he mentions the house of God, he says the Lord God is a sun. So anytime we appear before his presence, because we appear before a sun, before we appear before a God that is a sun, we experience radiation. Please, I want you to get that again. The Bible says for God is a sun. Anytime we appear before God in Zion, we have appeared before the God who is a sun. And because he is sun, there is a radiation that affects our lives as children of God. So the second thing that happens to believers who are constantly in the house of God is what? Radiation. Now we all know that radiation is an energy that flows from one place to another with the speed of light. So when we are in the presence of God, there is a radiation that influences us. You may not see it physically. You may not see a sun shining, but there's an inward reality going on within you. I'm teaching good here. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from the verse 13 to 17, there's a part of it that says that though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Which means sometimes in the place of serving God, you get tired. There are some physical things that happens to you. But the Bible tells us that there is an inward renewal, which is day by day. So there is an invisible thing that happens to you. You may not see it, but with time, there can be a manifestation of it physically. But the Bible tells us there is an inward radiation that happens to us when we are in the house of God. There is a heat of God's energy. And sometimes there's someone who may come here with lust. You may be battling with pornography, but in your attentiveness, in your involvement, in your participation, in the reality that we are sharing here, the radiation of God can consume that particular spiritual cancer that is eating you up gradually. That is how come we must always expose ourselves to the radiation of God in his presence. Number three thing that happens to those who are constantly in the presence of God is protection. Remember, he says the Lord God is a sun and shield. The purpose of shield is to protect. If you have a car and then you do a shed for it, you are protecting the car from being affected by the sun and exposed to the weather condition. The Lord is a shield. So one other thing that happens to those who are constantly in God's presence is that they experience unique and special protection from God. They are exempted from certain circumstances that should destroy them. I'm teaching good here. Now the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, the verse 1, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now Psalm 91 is a protection scripture. I wish every child of God will read Psalm 91 every day, because it will have an impact upon your life. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, the secret place means three things. Number one, the secret place is the place of prayer. Anytime you go on your knees, you have entered the secret place, spiritual reality. Number two, the secret place is Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So the secret place is Christ. Christ is a place. When a man believes Jesus, he has entered the secret place. Number three, the secret place is the house of God. Anytime you appear before God, you have entered a secret place. So all the benefits that are in Psalm 91 affects those who are in these three realities, which is the believer. Praise God. So he says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 on thy right hand. It shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. It's a promise in Psalm 91, but it happens to those who dwell. Not those who visit, but those who dwell in the secret place. I'm teaching good here. Hallelujah. Number four. The fourth thing that happens to those who are constantly in the presence and house of God is favor. Now listen, it's good you get to understand some of these things, because when you know that coming to church gives you a benefit of favor, when you leave here with a consciousness that you are favored. Am I helping someone here? You live with a consciousness that you have been strengthened. See, can I make it very simple for you? Christianity is not a religion. It's a life. But hear me carefully. That life is built and lived on consciousness. So what you are not conscious about will not happen in your life. I need to let you understand that. So many Christians are like, I've served God, I'm not seeing anything happening in my life. Listen, there is a consciousness you must have. There is faith involvement. So we are all here in church, but not all of us will live here transformed. We are all here in church, but not all of us will live here blessed. We are all here in church, but not all of us will live here healed. We are all here in church, but not all of us will live here with something that is divine. So there is a participation, there is a consciousness, there is a faith involvement that you must have to be able to receive and walk in the reality of what God has for your life. I'm teaching you. So you need to build a consciousness. So for example, as we teach you, we enlighten you. So now when you're living, you know that in an anointed church meeting, there is strength. You have become more stronger than you came. You come and strengthen the hedge that is around your life. I'm sure in the course of the week, all kinds of things happen. So there was a crack in the hedge. So when you come to church, you fix it. Hallelujah. So you see, sometimes people think that when you believe Jesus, everything happens automatically. Because God says you are protected, which means that from January to December, when you just pray and say, Father, protect me, which means that prayer has covered 1 year. No. It doesn't happen that way. There is an involvement. There is a participation. That must make that a living reality. Am I helping someone here? So, we said number three is protection. Number four is favor. Hallelujah. So, favor is simply acceptance. I can tell you, see, God can give you by favor what you can have by labor. Only three people understood it. I said what? God can give you by favor what you can have by labor. Do you know you can work for 10 months to pay 2 years' rent? And someone can give you that same rent in 1 hour. There are some of you here, if you are to save to buy a car, it will take you 2 or 3 years. There are some of you here, it may take you 10 years. There are some of you, by the time you get the money, Jesus will arise and appear. And even now, I want to buy Toyota Vit. I'm teaching you though. But simply by favor, God can just touch someone's heart and you can just have it without labor. Tell somebody, without labor. You know, some of you don't no longer believe in the favor of God because all your life you've worked so hard. So now you don't believe in the favor of God again. Hear me. It really is. Can I tell two people something? Before the end of April, God will so much favor you that every Sunday you'll be coming with various testimonies. I think those who are here are catching it. I said, before next week Sunday comes, God will give you by surprise a divine favor that will make you come constantly with testimonies. In the name of Jesus, shout a big amen. Now, when you say an amen, you actually say, I receive it. When you say an amen, you actually say, I stamp it. When you say an amen, you are saying, let it be so. I said, God is going to give you favor and you will have testimonies in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Shake three people on your side. Tell the person, I have favor. I have favor. I'm just favored. I don't understand why. I don't understand why I'm favored. Everybody's just accepting me just like that. Now listen to me. While we are talking of favor, it's not a joke. I'm telling you, because it's not funny to battle with the spirit of rejection. It's not funny. Where everywhere you go, you are rejected. Everywhere you go, you are not just accepted. Everywhere you go somewhere, you are sacked. You are looking nicer than the one you are being interviewed, but he's chosen over you. You even wanted to do an investigation to go and ask, did I do anything wrong? And they said, no, but go. Listen, the spirit of rejection is not funny. I'm telling you the truth. So every child of God needs, what did Mary do to carry the Savior? He says, you are just highly favored amongst all women. May it be your story in the name of Jesus. Because of favor, you will carry things you did not work for. Because of favor, you will own things you didn't buy. Because of favor, you will have jobs you didn't apply for. Because of favor, you will have favors you never requested for. That is your portion in Jesus' name. Tell someone, favor is my name. There's a Nigerian song. He says, I don't worry about tomorrow. Favor is my name. I don't worry about tomorrow. Favor is my name. I don't worry about tomorrow. Favor is my name. I don't worry about tomorrow. Favor is my name. I don't worry about tomorrow. Favor is my name. I don't worry about tomorrow. 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 Favor is my name. Come on. I don't worry about tomorrow. 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 One more time. I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about tomorrow. Okay, let me hear them. I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about tomorrow. One more time. I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about tomorrow. That is your story. That is your story. That is your story. Favor. Hey.
is your story. That's it. That's it. That's it. So number four is favor. See, I have experienced so much favor. Have you been in a place where your salary was 2,000? And the moment your salary came, okay, it came on 1st April. And by 10th April, the money was finished. Now you have to survive from 11th April to 30th. That thing that makes you survive is called favor. So is it one way or the other? Some of you may need favor. Because one day your salary may come and you were sending 20 cedis to someone and you send 2,000 to the person. Mistakenly. And unfortunately, the guy you sent it to is a hungry guy. The moment the thing dropped, he cashed it out. By the time MTN wanted to block it, it was too late. You will need favor to survive. I'm teaching good here. Number five. The fifth thing that happens to those who come to church is glory. He says the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace. That's the favor. And glory. The word glory is kabod in the Hebrew, which means weight. It means splendor. It means brightness. So the fifth experience is glory. Remember, God is the Lord of glory. When you appear before Him constantly, you experience glory from the Lord of glory. Now, have you noticed that if you have studied diffusion and osmosis, you understand. Well, when you go to the kitchen and then you're preparing, let's say, fried rice or rice and contumery, you enter the kitchen for, let's say, 30 to 45 minutes or to 1 hour to 2 hours. And then you come out from the kitchen, what do they smell from you, please? Contumery. And mistakenly, you had a running stomach and you entered the toilet. And because of the way the running stomach was, you spent 45 minutes to 1 hour. And he just came out and he just wanted to say, good morning. There is a glory that follows you all the days of your life. I'm teaching you here. Why? Because you spent so much time there that the atmosphere came with you. Which means when we appear in Zion in the presence, there is an atmosphere we go with. Some of you, the people fighting you in your house, it's not because they are fighting you, they are witches. The glory you came with, they couldn't stand it. That's why they are fighting you. Don't fight back, just live your life. You are filled with glory anytime you appear before God. The experience is splendor, brightness, light, glory. It's called weight, kabod. That is why when the Ark of Covenant was taken, they said, ikabod, which means the glory has departed. Listen, may glory never depart from your life. Because it will take glory to make impact. So there is a heaviness. So you see, you came here probably empty, but you are living here heavy. Because something will be deposited to you. Listen, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Which means when you receive them, what enters you is that dimension of the revelation you are receiving. I'm teaching good. So the faith experience is glory. You just keep coming to church. Just keep coming. You'll be experiencing something is changing about you. We've seen several testimonies. People came here with pornography addiction, with all kinds of addictions. But they just kept coming. They just kept coming. Suddenly, within 2, 3, 4 months, something just shifted. Glory. Number six. The sixth experience that happens to those who are in the presence of God or those who come to church is beauty. You understand it now, right? That's powerful.
is beauty. Now look with me to Psalm 27, verse 4. Now he says that, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold what? The beauty of the Lord. Now remember, you always reflect who you behold. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, we all with an unveiled face, as we behold as in a mirror, the glory of God, are what? Change from glory to glory. We are changed into the same image. So if David is saying to behold the beauty of the Lord, anytime we appear, we behold God's beauty. And because we behold God's beauty, we become that beauty. The Bible says in Psalm 50, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. So you become more beautiful on the inside, and with time, it permeates on the outside. Have you ever seen a madman who is actually delivered and becomes normal? You will notice that in the initial stages, he was so dark, he was so black, he was so ugly. But give him 6 months. As he keeps coming, hearing the word of God, as he keeps coming, praying, as he keeps declaring. Now you realize this same man who was on the street cannot be recognized. Listen, next week by this time, you will not be recognized. Because you will come more beautiful than you came. Come on. You will become so beautiful. So there is a beauty. I've seen a total, complete drunkard who got so much intoxicated with wine until when he drinks water in the morning, the system takes the water as alcohol. And there was a drawing of it on his face until he became a born-again Christian. Within 2 to 3 months, the same face that was mad began to just change. Listen, God's presence can beautify. I'm telling you. God's presence can beautify. Hallelujah. Number 7. I love it. Psalm 92, the verse 13. I love this verse so much. I love this verse so much. How many minutes do I have? Can you project your time? Psalm 92, the verse 13. Now, if you can read, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It's either I'm lying or scripture is lying, one of them. But God's word remains true. Now notice, the Bible says in verse 13 of Psalm 92, he says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So number 7, or the 7th thing that happens to those who are constantly in the presence of God, is flourishing. The word flourish in the Hebrew means to shoot out. It means to break out. It means to fly. It means to blossom. It means to bloom. It means to spring up. So one experience we have when we appear constantly in the presence of God is flourishing. Tell someone, flourishing. So you flourish more. You spring out. And that is what we call spiritual growth. You can write that down also. So flourishing there is spiritual growth. Because the more you grow as a child of God, the more you flourish as a child of God. And the more you flourish as a child of God, the more you grow as a child of God. So you experience spiritual growth. Now notice, the Bible says, those that be planted. So you must be planted.
So it is in a planting. Remember, in planting, the roots goes into the ground and becomes one with the soil. So there must be a rootedness. There must be a planting for the experience of flourishing. I'm teaching good here. Number 8. Now look at the verse 14 of Psalm 92 again. Those that be planted in the house of God. He says, they shall still bring forth fruit. What? In old age. And they shall be fat and flourishing. So number 8 is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Now over here in fruitfulness, we're speaking about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That's number one. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Which means constantly they become more like Christ. They look more like Christ. They look more like Jesus. They look more like Jesus. Number 9, joy and pleasures. Psalm 16, the verse 11. Joy and pleasure. He says, for thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So the 8th experience, when we appear before God constantly in his presence or in his house, is joy and pleasure. There is a joy you cannot be able to explain if you are truly connected to an anointed church meeting. There's a time you may feel like committing suicide. But just one message, just one worship song, just one prayer being led can just deliver you and give you an unexplainable joy and hope. Now, how many of you have ever come to church depressed? You felt everything is gone. You just felt like you are fed up with life. And all of a sudden you heard something, or maybe just the worship. Before you realize, by the time you are leaving, you have forgotten about your problems. How many have had that experience before? Oh, please, genuinely. If you have had that experience, please lift your hands. Let me see. Which means is that, yes, some have broken heart. Are we talking about broken heart here? Those who have lifted their hands. That one is a very serious matter, because broken heart is not a funny thing at all. When I was dating my wife, I once had a broken heart. It's not a good feeling at all. Day will become night and night will become day. Every food that is given to you, you will never enjoy it. You will lose appetite. At night, you will feel cold. You have not experienced broken heart before. Oh, then it's good. May you never experience broken heart, because it's not funny. Hey! You know, you will never know that your heart belongs to Jesus until you have a broken heart. That's how we can test it. You will never know that your heart belongs to Jesus until you have a broken heart. I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands. You know, there are so many things that motivate us without knowing the true secret. The way you are happy like that, it may be salary making you happy. It may be your girlfriend you spoke to her in Nigeria there from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. So the joy, the girl said, I love you. And electricity entered your system like that. Say, so it may be that your lifted hand may be energized by I love you. I remember a guy who fell in love with a girl and he finished speaking to the girl. I saw it on Instagram. And then he would finish talking to the girl. The girl would just Just the girl wanted to be gentle towards, and then he'll finish and say, I love you. And the girl said, I appreciate it. And the guy said, I said I love you. He said, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hey! And the guy started crying. May you never have broken heart in this year. And if you have heartbroken heart already, may the Lord heal your heart. Never again. Hallelujah. The Lord is your boyfriend. Hallelujah. So if we put Jesus down, your boyfriend down, who will you pick? You pick Jesus. And you can't to my edin. Hallelujah. All right, so my time is up. We're going to preach next week again. How many are blessed by the teaching? All right, so let's do a quick recap. What happens to those who come to church consistently and those who abide in the presence? Number one is strength. Number two, can you say louder? Radiation. Number three, protection. Number four, favor. Number five, glory. Number six, beauty. Number seven, number eight, number nine, number ten. Next week. Hallelujah. Rise up on your feet. We want to spend a time of prayer. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord, for your mercies never fail me. All my days I've been held in your love. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life. All my life you have been faithful. If the Lord has been faithful to you, lift your voice and sing it. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing alone. Yeah, sing it. Sing it. Sing it. Sing it.